mother named him Angel. He changed it as soon as he could. Broken English, he says, well, I am not a bad guy, but really, who could ever be that good? Each day at the factory, when the lunch bell was rung, he'd shuffle off to the Spanish-speaking smoking section to hear the news in his mother tongue. He says, my home is the land of beautiful women, strong family and perfect weather. Oh, but if you start off down, they will keep you down forever. So he had enough of nothing. By the time he turned 18, he says, there's one thing that I've learned for certain. No one crosses the river if they do not believe. Sending home half his pay, and it's just 12 more years till his pension is full. He's been working his whole life for his retirement day. And he says to me, you must be thankful, for life is gone in a snap. Oh, I still believe that people are the same all over, but there are so many different lines on the map. And his mother named him Angel. He changed it as soon as he could. Broken English, he says, well, I am not a bad guy, but really, who could ever be that good? Really, who could ever be that good? Really, who could ever be that good?
That's Dave McEthren with the song His Mother Named Him Angel. And that's from Dave's full-length solo album, Abandoned Companions, which is accompanied by a roots rock EP appropriately entitled The Abandoned Companions Companion Piece. Now, Dave McEthren is a multi-instrumentalist and the former frontman and principal songwriter of Toronto roots rockers, the much-loved and sadly departed Warped 45s. We caught up with Dave on the road to chat about the new project. It's great to be able to talk to you today, Dave.
Ah, it's very nice to talk to you. I'm both on the road and at my other off-grid home. So, yeah, it's my Ottawa Valley outpost.
So a chance to get away from it all, I'm assuming.
It's pretty away from it all, yeah, especially this time of year.
So you're now based in Hamilton, is that right?
That is correct, yeah. Going back about 5 years ago, I was just honestly feeling the squeeze of trying to be living in Toronto without even trying to be an artist, really, just in general, trying to be able to afford to live in Toronto. And it just kind of got to the point where I was looking for options, and coming back up to Whitney was an option. I've lived here before. To try and stay in the music scene, and for my partner's job, we kind of need to be somewhere a little more central. And I'd heard good things from some of my musician and artist friends that had moved to Hamilton, and I'd had good experiences there playing with the Warped 45s, and we made the leap to a new hometown. So got another fixer-upper.
It's working out good. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Now, the Warped 45s were certainly a much-loved band. 10-Day Poem to Saskatchewan from 2009, and then Matador Sunset from 2011.
We had an EP that we put out ourselves, that got us some of the attention that led to full lengths. But yeah, we were in the process of recording 10-Day Poem for Saskatchewan when we signed to Pheromone Recordings on Maple Music with Kim Cook. So
yeah,
things happened quickly back then. We started the EP and then did the EP and got a lot of really good reviews and a few unexpected awards and things. And so we just struck while the iron was hot and started recording a full-length album we couldn't afford. And luckily we had partners that jumped in.
So when did the Warped 45s actually call it a day?
Well, it was a bit long drawn out, actually. Two members of the band said they were quitting, and one member said he was fed up and was going away to have a child, and we'd see. And then we just waited for another year. But that was around the beginning of 2012, right at the kind of peak of our critical and audience height and charting's height and whatever. And Hamal and I were trying to wait it out and see if people would change their mind or if there was anything to come back to. And then Hamal, our drummer, Hamal Finroy, ruptured his Achilles tendon in a pickup basketball game. And then he needed a year of rehab. And by the time that ended, it was pretty obvious that no one was coming back. So, unfortunately.
And after that, did that leave you with a bit of, what happens now? What do I do now? Is that how you were left feeling?
In general, my life. I went from this thing that I was absolutely ecstatic to be in, that I'd spent my whole life building up to. My songs were being heard, and I loved creatively being with them, and we were, everything we did and every point we played, we gained fans and attention, and really amazing spot to be in. But some of the other members of the band were at a different age than me and in a different spot in their lives than me, and decided that it was untenable. So unfortunately, yeah, I didn't know what to do with myself or my life, and it was really kind of hanging there. Would there be something to come back to? Would there not? Waiting for other people's decisions, which is really weird, to be both like the driving force of a band and not being in control if you even have a band. You know, it was a very precarious situation to be in. So.
So you're back with this new project. It's predominantly a solo project, The Abandoned Companions. The songs on this new project, were they songs that you'd had for a while, or were they songs that you wrote within the last year, you know, thinking about going into the studio to record?
Most of the songs were new, and then songs that had held up, going back however long, that I decided that I had more experience as a songwriter, and the thing, maybe there was always just something that kept them from being that much more special, or waiting for the time where I felt good enough about what that song said and emotionally and had it right that it was time to record it. I did a lot of writing in that period, actually, even though I didn't really expect to ever record or perform again. And so, because that's just something I honestly had been doing since I was a kid. I started writing when I was about 8. Not very well then, obviously, but it's just something that from the time I started picking up an instrument, songwriting was intertwined with playing. And so even when whatever part of my life I've been in, I'm just one of those people that likes to write down whatever I see and whatever I'm feeling and try and turn it into song and make sense of it for myself and others, I guess. And sometimes it's about having fun, and sometimes it's about being in love, sometimes it's about being dropped, and sometimes it's a little more political and about things that are going on in the world. So,
well, you know, the interesting thing about this project, you could just feel it's very special when you, you know, when you talk about it. I think the period of time when you weren't making music as a band, that was when you started to explore other interests, because one of the neat things about this album is the fact that it comes in this wonderful leather sleeve that they're all individual because you made them all. You stamped the logo for the album on them. I guess it was because you started to explore leatherwork and making belts. And is that something that you're continuing to do as a major part of your life?
I am, actually, yeah. I've always been someone that likes to be creative. Don't really like, I get a little squirrely when I have too much time to sit around. I mean, I need that mix. I have this country home because sometimes the city is too crazy, and I like being in the city because sometimes you can get cabin fever when you're sitting around. And all of a sudden, I didn't know what to do with myself. Going back 8-9 years, I was either recording, writing in a studio, practicing or on the road and playing gigs, and then working in between that. And all of a sudden, it was just like that completely stopped. And so we did find a fixer upper. I do construction work, and I was working away in the house. I was trying to do creative projects in our renovations. And while making a sliding barn door out of pallet wood, I noticed that a piece of wood was a perfect shape for a belt buckle. That was my first belt buckle. I made it for a friend, and I made 5 or 6 more. I was just using blanks to put them on, and then eventually I wanted to make it all from scratch. I didn't want there to be a metal back or whatever. So I went to the local leather store, and they gave me some lessons on what tools to use and stuff. And by then I had moved into using old board games, wood, old dinky cars, old fishing lures, making fish dioramas. And then in the same process, I started recording again, and I knew how to do leather work. And I just wanted everything to be as special as a handmade, crafted thing. We all know music's been undervalued or devalued in this age. And I just felt like it's so special to me regardless. Whether it makes sense financially or anything else artistically, it made sense to make them all special and one of a kind somehow.
It's a remarkable story. I do realize that this is a music show and this is a music interview. We need to steer the conversation into the music. Now, we started off with His Mother Named Him Angel. Tell us a little bit about that song.
That's from an era where I was actually working in a transit bus factory. We would sand, my section was in a paint prep booth, and almost everyone I worked with was much happier to be there than I was. I wasn't so happy to be back in a factory and working, and yet these other people had gone through so much. They were all actually former refugees from somewhere around the country. Angel himself had, I didn't know his name was Angel. That's part of the story. He was originally from Colombia, and some of the other guys were, one of the guys was from El Salvador, another guy from a couple other guys from Guatemala. And this was the promised land for them. I mean, they were going to have a pension. They were supporting families back home, and they're sacrificing a lot for this life to be here. You know, it was an eye opener, really. It's an amalgam of most of those people, actually.
It's a beautiful song. I was so pleased to start off with that. Now, that's from the solo album.
Abandoned Companions, yes.
Yeah. We're going to dip back into that just now because I want to play another beautiful song. It's a song that actually I've already played on the radio, but I thought about it and thought, you know, I wanted to be able to talk to you about this one, and that is No Better Teacher Than Time. There's a lot of great songs on this album. This is a song that I think, certainly from my point of view, it's a song that I know will always stay with me.
Well, it is a very personal song. It was just, there's songs in your life where it's just you taking stock and realizing that, trying to remember that you should be very, I guess, less cocky and entitled and more understanding. And if you are going to be going through failures and losses, you should learn so you don't keep making those mistakes again, and that hopefully eventually you become a better person and you have a better life and you have better love and you're a better friend and a better son, you know? And I just think that, yeah, that's about it.
it's an absolutely gorgeous song. I absolutely love it. And I wanted to thank you, for sharing this song with the world, because it is really wonderful. This is Dave McEthren with No Better Teacher Than Time from his wonderful new album, Abandoned Companions. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
I've made making a mess look easy. I've made making love look hard. I've been more than thoughtless. I've been less than kind. There's no better feeling than your lips on mine. And there's no better teacher than time. Here's to the old days, the old flames and the old ways. May they stay where they've been put away. I've made mistakes, I hope I've left them behind. 'Cause there's no better teacher than time. Yeah, there's no better teacher than time. Oh, how I've been humbled, I brought it on myself. Blame it on my sense of entitlement. I have to take it on faith that I'm trying to live right. And there's no better teacher than time. Well, I try to show you every day that I can love you right. And there's no better teacher than time. Yeah, there's no better teacher than time. There's no better teacher than time.
That's Dave McEthren with No Better Teacher Than Time from his new album, Abandoned Companions. Dave's our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. Now, the interesting thing about Abandoned Companions is it actually comes with this pretty neat EP called The Abandoned Companions Companion Piece. What I'd like to do now, Dave, is to talk a little bit about how this all fits together, because you worked on this album with Brian Pickett, who's worked with the Strombellas. He's also worked with Ashley Condon. Tell us a little bit about how you got together to make this album, and I guess why you wanted to actually have, you know, some of the songs that were, you know, were solo, and then some of the songs that were on the what would be described more as a band album, which is the companion piece.
Brian Butler and Brian Pickett were both more than just hired guns on this. And my friend and manager, Mark Watson, as well. I wanted to work with Brian Pickett because he's one of my best friends. He actually did one of my first solo albums. He's going back to some of the first demos I ever have made. And we were in a college cover band with him and Mark and a couple other great guys that we still get together and have reunion jams and bang out crappy versions of songs. And so he was available and had a studio set up at his home in Lindsay. That's right in between my two homes of Whitney and Hamilton. So it made sense geographically. It made sense for him time-wise in between some of his other projects. And we just have a great trust. We started recording and we started talking, and there were certain songs that we felt were should be stripped down and very personal and, you know, more of the classic duo folk sound. Then there was others. He's like, man, I just want to feel more, you know, rock here. And I was like, well, I don't really want to have a band. He's like, well, let's try it. And he was just one of those let's try it guys. We just came to the decision that we like both. We didn't know which one we liked better. And so he's like, well, let's finish them. And then he's like, and the ones that were supposed to go more rock, we put them with it. And but also I wanted a full actual folk song album. I didn't want it to be all over the place. You know, the Warped 45s were kind of liked because we'd do anything and whatever, but it's not always the most focused way to do it. I wanted a focused album. And so we kind of worked our way to this, but I wanted people to hear both versions. So, you know, we broke the rules and we put them all out.
Well, that's good. I, you know, in this age where people suddenly say that, you know, they're only putting out singles or they're only putting out,
right,
you know, short EPs, it's actually really nice to say, well, I'm putting out an album and a half. The interesting thing
hasn't been done too many times. There are some. I mean, it usually ends up being a double album, but there are a few cases where people have done, you know, an album and a half, but not too many. And that's just how many we had and as many songs as we felt like fit. And so, yeah.
You know, the interesting thing about the project is that when I got, you know, my copy of the album, I focused on the solo album. I thought, well, I'm going to focus on that. And then there are several tracks that appear in both. And I would listen to the solo version. I'd say, oh, that's so beautiful. I love that. Later, I would listen to the band version and think, oh, my God, that's also beautiful.
That's what we were doing.
It's funny because at the end of this interview, and people will have to stay to the end, we're going to play one of the songs that I've actually played on the radio before, but previously I played the solo version. We're going to play the band version at the end of this interview. It's interesting because the band version does give you a little bit more and you get, you know, everything opens out a bit more. But then when you go back and listen to the solo versions, it doesn't feel like everything's coming in on you or anything.
Yeah, it really does. And we ourselves were just like, well, it could go many ways. And we could go further. It was hard. And some songs where you just had to try and not do everything. Because you have all the tools these days, right? And you can always just call someone. And they can be in another country and add a track or anything. And it's like, so you have to really try to be like, is this serving the song? Is it done? If it's done, then there's no need to add anything else. And we never felt like those other couple tracks that we put the other instruments on, we never felt like they were missing anything. And yet everything else we tried and recorded for them, we also liked. So we just kept following that, you know. I should mention, too, that this was done through a process that most artists out there will recognize, is that with the help of grants and development grants and stuff. So it was not all done all at once either. The two demo songs that were done for the demo layer of that were actually produced by Hill Kirkcudas, who is a fantastic singer-songwriter. And you'll hear her singing on The Other Side and the song that I wrote with David Francie, a song called Luck. Chris Cool, who plays with David Francie, came to do the banjo on those two tracks as well. And those tracks, when they were done, there was quite a period where I still wasn't sure I was going to continue to try and do the grant or anything. And I had actually gotten to a point where I'd given up. I'd never released them. And I told my friend who writes the grants and used to be my manager and is now currently my manager to give up. Literally, I'm not even going for grants anymore. And that's part of the story of Abandoned Companions. Part of that, the second part of that, is the songs. It was the first time in my life where I said, people don't want me, I'm going away. I'm done with this, right? And which any musician, singer, songwriter does not get there lightly. And he didn't listen to me, and he kept putting in the grants. And when we got the grants, the second round of grants, that's when everything else happened. And at that point, I believe Hill was recording with, you know, someone like July Talk, or was on the road with Serena Ryder or something, and Brian was available. Many people have contributed to this album. One of the tracks that I believe you're playing actually goes to a time before the Warped 45s, but Brian was recording that as well. And because I just started playing with the Warped 45s but was keeping up on my solo stuff, I invited future members of the Warped 45s before we were the Warped 45s to play on the Midnight for Leadbelly, which is a poem written by David Seymour, which is a biography of the artist Leadbelly. So this really is kind of an overview. Most of the songs are new, but they fit in so well from these other parts of my life that I really felt like by bringing in all these people that contributed. Brian Butler plays a lot of guitar and mandolin on this album. He was in the Warped 45s on the last tour. We did a 47-day tour. We became great friends and have continued to play up to this day. He's still playing with me. I co-wrote for songs on his new EP, One Day. It's not really out yet, but you'll be hearing soon, I hope. And then Brian Pickett added some instruments. I go back with Brian Pickett's brother Mike, who ends up adding the bass and still lives in the Peterborough area. And we go back a few decades with him as well. Annalise Nerona is on here. Andrew Penner from the Sun Parlor Players is playing some dobro on the Midnight for Lead Belly. My cousin Ian Sidock is my first cousin, who is now playing on this. He's a fantastic guitar player. His mother named him Angel, is just my guitar line and his guitar line and one mandolin overdub. I hope I'm not forgetting anyone. Brian Butler does a lot of the harmonies as well. I think those are all the main players. So
we're going to go back to the album. We're going to the companion piece, and we're going to play Midnight for Lead Belly. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Five past 11, the metallic intermittent whistles from Houston marks our time in the darkness of his cell. A few minutes later, the South Pacific's lights begin to scream and flicker across the ceiling. Unstrung film clacking on the reel. Unstrung film clacking on the reel. He watches with feigned disinterest. So close. Today it felt like the sun's clock stopped as it hung in the middle of the sky. Two new boys dropped dead in the fields. Despite the steady belt of his voice, leading the line, keeping the pace workable. Fear makes him swing harder, faster than he hollers. Cotton, corn, and cane. Cotton, corn, and cane. Somewhere. People are being clothed, fed, sweetened up quite nicely. To the man, murmur the names of lovers and wives in their muscle-bound sleep. The passing train light paints each face with a look of tense concentration for Roberta, Julianne, Sylvie. Another line comes to mind. He reaches for the pencil and pad, hidden under the mat. It's almost finished. Governor F arrives in a week. Shine its light on me. Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me. Shine its light on me. Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me. Shine its light on me. Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me. Shine its light on me. Shine its light on me. Shine its light on me. Ooh.
That's Dave McEthren with the wonderful track Midnight for Leadbelly. You can find it on the companion piece that came out with the Abandoned Companion solo album. Dave's our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. So the album's out. You've done some release shows. What happens now?
Well, I'm trying to reintroduce myself live and trying to branch out in that regard. So I have a show in at the Bruce Wine Bar in Collingwood in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to get to the Moonshine Cafe in Oakville. And I've done the Ottawa Valley a few times, Pembroke, Whitney, Renfrew, Wilno, out to Ottawa and Montreal. And I'll just keep adding gigs. I'm hoping to add some more house concerts. I'm in the works of planning a tour to Winnipeg in May. And I'm going out opening for some shows with David Franci in November. But before that, I'm actually practicing my butt off to fill in for Mark Westberg with David Franci, as David Franci's guitar player is right at the moment. And that's going to be the mid of April out to Alberta. So I'm kind of juggling these. I'm in the works of adding more shows. And my next show in Toronto, it looks like, might be at Hughes Room, but I don't really have a date to announce for that. It looks like I'm going to be on the bill for the Burlington Sound of Music Festival, but they haven't announced that yet. So I'm not sure exactly which night or anything. So there's good things happening. It's so great to be back. It's so great to be sharing my music again with people and reconnecting with more musicians. Musicians are always so busy that when I wasn't playing, I actually missed a lot of the people that had become my social group as well, not just, you know.
Well, I certainly hope that some of the festivals will come calling as well, because I think the world needs more of Dave McEthren. I think this album is going to do very well, and I'm looking forward to seeing how many best of lists it appears on at the end of the year. Been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. We're going to finish with another track that appears on both albums. It's a track we played on the radio in its solo form. We're going to play the band version today. And that's Hell to the Heavens. Tell us about that song.
Oh, that is just one of those things where you're just like, in the span of about 8 months after the fall of the Warp 45, it's starting to clue in that, you know, it's probably over. Somehow in that time, I also managed my longtime girlfriend and I managed to split up, and I had to leave the apartment, and I ended up living at my sister's house back in our small little hometown on her farm, and working on her drywall in her house and with their kids. And I just was kind of looking at my life, and just one of those times where you just get frustrated no matter what you're doing. It's just banging your head against the wall, and you just feel like you can't take it anymore. Like, seriously, this is enough. Just enough. I'm middle-aged. I've worked my life. I've tried to live a good life, and you don't even know what to do except for maybe scream, but then you know that doesn't really help either. So it's, yeah, yell, scream like hell to the heavens for all the good it does.
And it's a great song. And I think that, you know, we're very lucky to have you back. I wanted to really enforce that. I can't speak highly enough about this album. I think it's a great album. I know it'll probably be on my list at the end of the year. So this is Dave McEthren with Hell to the Heavens, from the Abandoned Companion's companion piece. And whatever you do out there, please check out Dave's music, catch him live, and get the album. Dave McEthren, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today.
Pleasure's mine.
You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Is it enough to know that we almost made it up to the point where we almost could have made it, and that our best was at best a moral victory? Well, that counts for something, just not for anything you can count. Scream like hell to the heavens for all the good it does, for all the good it does. You can scream. it's gonna hurt, and it can't be helped when all there is left is to be left alone. You can drive yourself crazy thinking about who you don't like, and you can scream like hell to